Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, there's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, strength from day to day.
Thank you, ladies. Brother Laster, several months ago, said we need to get some more groups around here, and these two ladies have been working together. Boy, that was good tonight. They're going to be on our music schedule going forward. We usually make our schedule 3 months ahead, so they'll be on there. We also, Mrs. V. Green is working with a group of 39 ladies. How many ladies do you have? Not quite that many, but they're working, and they'll be singing here before long. You'll enjoy that too. So we like to have as good as much special music as we can. Well, it's an honor tonight to be able to speak for the last time. Well, I hope not for the last time, but the last time in this, maybe the last time after tonight, but to speak to you for the last time on this subject of family and this five lessons that we've had. I sure appreciate our pastor and his concern for our families and our church. He began to talk to me many months ago about the concern that we have. Our families in our church, the families and churches in our country, and the desire to see God work. So we set apart and set aside this month of April, and we're calling it Family Month. And I talked to him about doing something maybe with a presentation, and he was for it. If I didn't have a good wife, this would not be possible. But we're going to lay out some things, and hopefully you'll be able to maybe visualize some of the things that we're discussing here tonight. But I want to say publicly how, as a man that's been on a church staff for a long time, that how Dr. Laster has taken the reins of this church and gone forward. That's one of the hardest working men I've ever seen in my life. You need to encourage him to get some rest sometime. I don't know if he'll listen to you. He doesn't listen to me. He probably doesn't listen to his wife, but he does need to get some rest. But He has worked so hard, faithful to pray for this church here before anyone gets here, a lot of times here before, after everyone's gone, and done a great job. And that's not, it's not an easy job to, to replace anyone. Can you imagine replacing a Jack Hiles or replacing a Curtis Hudson or replacing Lee Robertson or replacing Bob Smith? This is just almost impossible to do. And I thank you all for your faithfulness standing behind him. The church has gone on. The church, as any church, turns over. A lot of people don't realize that every year in an average independent Baptist church or most any church, you lose 20% of your membership, just what they call attrition. They move away or may become disinterested. You got to reach out. And we have a lot of new families, and we're thankful for you that have come in and joined with us. That's just a common thing that you have to deal with. Well, we've been talking about family here. Brother Lasseter's been preaching on it all month in his messages. He's had me do these five. Last week we had Dr. Young here and a great message on family. And that's something that we're talking about. We want to talk to you tonight about the state of the American family. Now, unfortunately, our families are a whole lot like, can you see the little boy? I'm not going to turn around and look. Okay. There's the little boy. And he is being babysat by the TV or a computer or something there. Mama's not around, and that's what's going on in a lot of our homes. It's sad. There was a time way back when your family was much more structured. Meals were at home together. And you see, this is, well, it's not in my family, but some of them look like that. I've got some pictures. There was a lot more structure to the family, and we've gotten away from that. It was a little bit more formal in how we did things. The families were together. They would stay close. You see these pictures. This is kind of moving forward. There you have, when you take a picture, a family portrait, you have everybody dressed up in suits and their hats and all this kind of stuff. And that's the way it looked. Nowadays, when you get a family portrait, it's a little different. Parents a lot of times are a little bit older. They're older when they get married, and they have fewer children, and they're all stacked on top of each other. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's some of the changes that we're going through. But God has laid out what the family should be, and according to the Word of God, in Genesis 2:24, it says, "A man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So we've talked about that already, how that you're to leave your parents and form a new unit, family unit, and that's what God intends. And then according to the Word of God, that family is to, God will bless them, and he says you're to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So that's what we're supposed to be about as we have families. But God does have an order. In the book of Genesis, and over in your Bible, there's a wording that the way it's put there, it says like in Genesis 4:1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife." Now that is physical relationship they're having there. That's what that word means in the Bible. He says he knew Eve, his wife. See, God didn't intend for a marriage to, it's not a marriage. He didn't intend for there just to be relationship everywhere and children to be born. He intended for it to be a husband and a wife and then conceive. Now, that's God's intention. There's an order to it. And we have that, and we are in America, we're so out of order on that. There's been many changes over the last 100 years, and especially maybe the last 50 years. Some of the things have happened after World War II. During World War II, that time, a lot of the ladies, as the men were fighting the war, the ladies went into the workplace, and they began to work and in the factories and places like that. And then as things developed and our country became very prosperous materialistically, then we had there's a standard of living you want to meet. And so a lot of times in our homes today, it is mothers are working, and it's not always wrong. We're not trying to say that. Sometimes it's necessary, but sometimes we make a choice of being a mother or having material things. And that's when you have to, it's very careful. The Bible says children, low children, that means low when they're little, low, never mind. Low children are an heritage of the Lord. Now, you'll see that used to daddies would throw balls with the kids. and sit and read to them. But where are they today? See, these are the changes that are going on in our country. They're everywhere. And it's rampant. In 1960, I was just a young lad. Well, actually, I wasn't. But anyway. In 1960, 87% of the children in America resided with both parents. That's only 50 years ago. In 1960, children born to unmarried women were 5% of all births. Now just look where what's happened, the changes, and it's not for the better. In 2008, by the way, I've got some statistics now to bring you up to the last 4 years, but in 2008, only 64% of all American children lived with both parents. It's down to about 50% now. In 2008, 41% of children born in America were born to unmarried women. Now, it's right at 50% now. That's how fast it's going the other direction. There are cities in this country, Washington, D.C. is one, where nearly 80% of the children are born out of wedlock. That's our capital. That is going on in America. And so mothers alone are having to raise their children. That's not what God intended. That's not how he established the family. But the devil has found ways to encourage women and encourage men to go along with the ERA and all those type things. Eve ruined Adam. And he has encouraged that, and we've fallen prey to that. And I don't want a man telling me to do anything, you know. And Hollywood actresses say, well, shoot. It's no problem. We can raise the kids. Well, yeah, if you got a few million dollars, you can to hire somebody. But that lady is not raising those kids. She's out having a career. But they tell you it's okay, and they push that day and night. And so you see the real picture is what is going on in the homes. Again, another thing that's happened in America, grandparents are parents again. I love my grandkids. God has given us 16. But I say this often, you know, if I'd have known having grandkids was so much fun, I'd have skipped the kids and went right to them. But you know what? After about 2 hours around the grandkids, I'm glad they can go home. You know, the Lord gives you the energy as a younger adult to deal with your kids and, you know, not pull your hair out. But, you know, so many times now, the grandparents or the aunts, uncles, different, usually the aunts, people like that, are trying to raise these kids, and it's so difficult, and it's so hard. And that's what's in our country today. It's going on like that. It's just over and over. I was at a funeral today and saw that same thing in the families. Now, I'm going to introduce you to someone. This is just kind of an interlude here. Remember I talked to you a while back about my cat, Bubba, my wife's cat, Bubba, the one that I saved from dying. But he is the most ungrateful thing. Anytime that I get out of line, well, I'm not out of line. If I sneeze, Sunday morning, I blew my nose. I shouldn't tell you that, but I did. He attacked me. My legs were bleeding. They really were, honest truth. I don't know why I keep this cat around the house. He's full of the devil, and you can look at him there, but he doesn't like when I make a noise that, you know, maybe if I talk quietly to my wife, that's okay, but if I raise my voice and yell at her like I do all the time, he didn't like, no, I'm, that. Bubba doesn't like, said it like this, if I were God, and I'm sure not, And Bubba was a lost sinner that God saved. And then the Lord wanted to speak to you out of his book. And every time he said something, we didn't like it. We attacked. That's how Bubba is. And he's ungrateful. He's taking a bath. He needs it. And he's waiting. The picture of him waiting there, if you see that, he's waiting for me to turn my back and sneeze. Here he comes. Now, let's review the message we've been through so far. We've been through four. Pride, the first one, the sin that destroys our families. There's four indications of a proud person. He won't admit his sin. He will not accept the will of God. Is this where you are? He won't ask for help. And he always looks for someone to blame. Couldn't be me. I'm proud. He gets it from Satan. How should we deal with pride? We recognize God's divine order of authority. Let God lead through. Does the word say men? A pastor is to be the husband of one wife. You read that? Now, I know in America today, in some states, that who knows what that means. But in the Bible, that means it's a man. The man is the pastor. The wife is said that she is to obey her husband. I know you want to cut that out. My old pastor, Dr. McGahee, used to do the weddings all the time. And he would get that obey in there. A lot of times it's in the wedding vows one time or two. He'd get it in about five times so that she'd have to repeat that over and over and over again. I don't know if it did any good, didn't it? Never mind. but that's what she's supposed to do. I pick on my wife because she is a very godly woman. And she can put up with it. She's had to for all these years. And she normally obeys. There's leap years and there's months with five Sundays and things like that. Recognize God's divine authority. Let God lead through men. Place every area of your lives before the altar of God and surrender it. Brother Laster asked me if I would to take some of the points from Brother Terry Angel's message he preached to our men, leading from the bottom up. And it was so good. Authority comes with position. He went through all of that. But in America, we've turned that upside down. So wives know how to get what they want. Children pout and fuss and get what they want. Even Peter told the Lord, said, "You're not going to the cross." And he spoke against the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, "You're Satan, like my cat." Amen? My wife's cat. Leading from the bottom up always brings chaos and confusion. Sunday morning, we talked to our adults in here about four potholes on the marriage highway. And these are things that come up over and over. There's others, but these are four main ones that you see over and over when families begin to have problems, husbands and wives have problems. Problems with finances, living beyond your means, not having a budget, in-law interference. Boy, it's good to have good in-laws. It really is. It really is, and God was good to me. We had a little problem early, but God, boy, in the last years, the last 30 years, it was really good. And then how you raise your children as far as discipline and punishment, child rearing, and then the physical relationships. Sunday night, we talked about five C's to an A-plus marriage. Character. The whole month, the whole year, about character. Chastity. That's not just the name of a little girl. That is a biblical thing that is very important, being chaste, being clean, being pure. Counsel, how important it is. Courtship, having the parents involved and having veto over relationships. And then contentment. Tonight, I'm going to conclude with this. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13, the name of the message tonight is how good parents often lose their children. How good parents often lose their children. There are many saved, dedicated parents in Bible-believing churches that have lost their children. I think a lot of times it's just unwittingly. They never even thought about what we're going to talk about tonight, but it's so very important. And I want to show you what God has been showing me over about the last 15 or 20 years, this question of authority. And we are commanded as parents to train up our children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not depart. But to train them in the way they should go is, I believe this, you have to bring your children, first of all, under the authority of your home, and then you train them to come up to be under all the authorities that are in their life, and there's going to be a lot of them, and how to handle that and teach them, because one of these days you're going to hand your young lady, your daughter, to a young man, and she's going to be under his authority. And that has to be trained. That is not automatic. Not in this world. And one of these days, your son is going to leave your house, and he's going to have to come up under the authority of a boss or whatever it is. And all of us have to know we're under the authority of the Word of God and God Himself, the Holy Ghost of God, His leading. We're all under authority. And I've thought about this and thought about this, and I believe the mistake we make is we make it in this key area of authority. So let's stand, if you would, and turn to tonight to Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul, who does that include? Everybody here. My cat, my wife's cat, no, he's not going to be subject to anything. But let every soul, human being, be subject unto the higher powers. Who's the higher powers? Anybody that's an authority over you. We don't want to be that way. We're rebels. We got that from the Satan. I mean, he is a rebel. He teaches this. But we're to be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power. Now understand this. God gives the power. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Any power. You say, what if I don't like the power? What if they're dishonest? They're still ordained of God. God set up wicked kings because people would be behaving in a way that he had to straighten them out, and he would put them under wicked kings. They were under their authority. Do you believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, under the Roman Empire and Herod and Pilate and all those, do you think those were good people? They were wicked. Jesus said, I'm going to pay my taxes, and I'm under them. Jesus was the Son of God. You know what? You read Luke, go through there, through Luke 2 and 3 and through there. Jesus, although he was able to answer the questions of doctors and lawyers when he was 12 years old, he went home and was subject to his own parents. He was God. He made them, but he was subject to them. He set the example. And we've got to learn to do that. All right, so whosoever, therefore, the powers that be that are ordained of God, whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You see why this is so important? You want your home to be messed up, your children to be messed up, get messed up in this area of authority. And he will do it. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, that's a good case there. They should be, if you're not doing anything wrong, you should be okay. Now, that's not always true, but that's the rule. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. Is that a pastor? No. That is anyone that's in authority over you. God has placed them there, and he is, the Bible said, he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. You go down the road, and you're going faster than you should, or you roll through that stop sign, and then you see the black and white or the blue lights or something like that coming. Be afraid. Be afraid. He's a minister of God. I don't think of him like that. I think, couldn't you find something better to do than to harass me as I'm trying to get home a little quicker than I should? But it's a minister of God. Now, I can say that now. I don't always think that way when I get pulled over, which is hopefully not too often. Wilt thou do then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. You shall have praise, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And for this cause pay ye tribute. Hey, that says we pay taxes. I don't like that. April 15th just went past, didn't it? For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Yeah, they're trying to find ways to get more taxes. Render, therefore, to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. There's some you're supposed to fear. And honor to whom honor. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege you give me tonight to talk to these dear people from your book. And I pray you'd use me to be a minister of truth in Jesus' name. Amen. How good parents often lose their children. Almost every parenting failure in good homes, I believe, can be traced not to they didn't train up their child, have devotions with their children, take them to church, but they did not communicate this thing and train this thing of teaching submission to all authority. There's also inconsistency, and that will destroy a home, and especially hypocrisy. And we'll talk about these tonight. In the home, as in life, words are important, but actions are paramount. What you say is important, but in the old saying, what you do speaks so loud I cannot hear a word you say, and that oftentimes happens. And there were two sons, in fact, in Matthew 21, and the two sons said different things. The dad said, I want you to go out and work. One of them said, I won't. But then he repented, and he went and did it. He went and worked. There was the other son that said, I will. I see this in college all the time. I'll do it. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Then they don't do it. That's what that son said. He said, I will, and then he didn't work. And Jesus asked the question, which one was better? And it was the one that said, well, first of all, he said, I won't do it, but then he repented and he did it. More than the one that said, I'll do it. My home, as I was growing up, there were some things I've tried to think back through the years. My parents did not have lists like Brother Ray Young had. My dad was an independent Baptist preacher. He would work oftentimes two jobs plus pastor. But there was some consistency and some things there that I've thought about that God did. Somehow, he was able, with my mother, and she was, of course, to get a lot of the credit, to raise seven adults that are serving God and love the Lord and are involved in church and have been their whole lives. Now, that's something. And they were able to do it. Now, I thought about what happened. It wasn't, they communicated, but it wasn't like these are all these things that we're going to do and we're going to be a family all together. They just did things. But there was one thing. There was no divided authority in the home. There was none. Dad was dad, and Mom was Mom, and she honored him. Mom would sit and listen to Dad preach. Maybe other people going to sleep. Mom never went to sleep. That was a good message. Boy, that was a good. That's the best you ever did. And how would you like to be a young lady? I tell our young ladies this. You marry a preacher. I said, before you marry a preacher, listen to him preach, because you're going to have to listen to him the rest of your life. And it would be a good idea if he could preach and keep your attention, because you're going to have to stay awake. You cannot go to sleep, Miss Last. You can't go to sleep. You have to stay with it. Amen. And Miss Gayla, she's staying with it up there, hopefully. But there was no divided authority in the home. Number two, this is very, very important. Nothing, not divided in the home, and outside authority was always backed. I was raised in a generation, if you got in trouble at school, you didn't want Mom and Dad to find out, because it didn't make any difference what your excuse was, because they weren't even going to listen to it. It was just you were double trouble. It was bad. And it was without exception. You say, no, there was none of that. You say, that's old-fashioned. Well, look at the results. Didn't it say the powers that be are ordained of God, they're ministers of God? Isn't that what the Word of God has to say? Are you going to believe what you believe, or are you going to believe what the Word of God has to say? Outside authority was always backed without exception. And there wasn't hypocrisy. My parents were the same at home as they were at the church. There were some other things. Our home was consistent. It was not perfect, not that organized in some ways, but we ate meals all together. My mother was not a good cook. She really wasn't. When I met my wife and started She cooked for me, and her mother and her stepmom cooked for me, and her grandma. I never had food like that in my life. My house, I mean, it was, what is it? Hamburger Helper, when that was finally invented, that was about when I was a boy. Hamburger Helper, that was about the best thing we ever had. And it went around the table one time, and that was it. You better get your portion, because there was not going to be seconds. And I was bigger. I was the oldest, so it kind of helped there. But my mother was not a good cook. That's about the only thing she wasn't good at, but she was not a good cook. In our home, there was never a fear of divorce. It was never, never. My dad was not perfect. I know that. He was hard to live with, just like I am and like you guys are. But that was never, there was never anything in our, that we would feel like, man, are they going to stay together? I'm not even, Dr. Hiles, you say, cut certain words out of your dictionary like divorce and quit, you know, and compromise, things like that. Just cut them out. My parents' attitude was selflessness, not selfishness. Selflessness, they were servants, but they still headed the house. Mom would never, I mean, to get her to buy something new for herself was almost impossible. If any money was available, she would get a new suit for Dad or get clothes, church clothes for the kids. That's what she was about. And for her, I remember one time, back in those days, ladies wore hats. I think my mother had maybe one somewhere. And I had made a little money. I was probably about 12, and I don't know what I did, but I made some money. And we went to JCPenney's, and they had hats on sale. And they had pillbox hats and hats with stuff come over your face and beret. I don't know what all they were. I really don't. But they were only like $5 each, and I had about $25, and I bought my mom 5 hats. And she had those all those years. You know, she wouldn't buy anything for herself. Now, that's a whole different generation from what we have today. By the way, my wife does buy clothes. I knew that when I married her. It was a selfless attitude. We were taught, this is very important, mostly by example. Not that they would sit down, now this is what you have to do, this is what you... By example, we were taught these things. You're taught by word example to trust the Word of God. You just trust the Word of God. You were taught to love the Word of God. You were taught to love the work of God. Greatest thing in the world was God's work and His people. And to love the men of God. We never had in our house talking about preachers. We'd go to fellowship meetings. They didn't come home and say, I don't like what he preached, or he's this. No, it was always elevate those men. That's what it was all about. They would talk about people that didn't like J. Frank Norris. my folks both went to school under Dr. J. Frank Norris, Arlington Baptist, wasn't Arlington Baptist College, Bible Baptist Seminary. But if you didn't like him, that was a bad thing at our house. But other than that, you know, it was men of God were not talked about. And the people of God, not the church members weren't talked about. Yeah, I'll give you example. We were taught by word and example to trust the Word of God. The work of God was more important than any worldly success. I believe a lot of parents, without even thinking about it, you send clues to your kids about what you really think when you do something like this. You hear about Johnny over here. He was accepted at a big name college. Isn't that exciting? Or he is going to be a doctor. Or so-and-so, you know, this is going to happen. But if somebody says, my son, he went forward at the missions conference. What's wrong with that? The highest calling, that's what was taught, that's what we believe. The highest calling was to serve God. It was not to be the president, or it was not to be a doctor. I'm not against doctors, I'm for them, I like them. I'm glad I had a good one that gave me 2 good knees, you know, with God's help, the great physician. But, you know, and listen, this thing's going to turn around. I gave you some figures to one of the today. I try to keep with the news. College graduates today, now, 50% of them that are graduating right now cannot find a job in their field. And they either cannot get a job, or they get a job that's way below what they're trained for, minimum wage type things just to make it. And the average one is graduating with $25,000 worth of debt. That's what's going on. If you're going to med school, most doctors come out with $100,000+ in debt. You say, well, they charge too much. No, they don't. They don't charge too much. They're getting ripped by the government on all the Medicare programs. People just don't figure it out. You look at the insurance and things they have to pay. Now, every situation has authority. In your home, there's authority. It's the father and the parents. Isn't that where it's supposed to be at home? Not the children. Love your kids, but you're not supposed to be running your home. At church, who is the authority? Pastor, staff, Sunday school teachers, you know. At school, who is it? Your teacher, your principal. At work, it's a boss, a foreman. There might be a whole bunch of people above you, but they all, whatever level. It may not be the owner of the company or the CEO. It might be someone way under him, but he's still over you. And there's authority. Every place has authority. On a team, there's coaches. There's a head coach, but a lot of times there's assistant coaches. But that coach has the authority in that team. In our country, it's our president, our Congress, our court system. They affect us tremendously. It's important to get the right people in office. The governor, the mayor, the city councilman. On the highway, there's authority. I've already talked about that. We are either going to have authority or anarchy. And we have a lot of anarchy. Think about it. Let me ask you something, parents. There's parents that disagree with how things are done at church, maybe in the youth department. I was a youth pastor a lot of times, so I'll just stop right there. If you got 50 kids, you may have 30 sets of parents. They all have different ways they do things. Now, what if they say, every one of them gets mad because it's not done just the way they want it done? You have chaos in that youth department. You have to teach your children that you've got to come up underneath this man and this lady and maybe their helpers that God has put there, and it has to be done. It's the same thing in your Christian school or your public school or your football team. Those things are there. You cannot have, see, there's parental authority, but there's also other authority. And parents, you're not doing your job when you put your children underneath the authority of someone else and then you back that. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you prepare them. That's how you train them up in the way they should go. That's how you prepare them for life. There's going to be times when there's conflicts among authorities. Maybe the parents see it one way, the preacher sees it another way, someone else. Now, how we deal with these parents has a huge impact on our children and on their character. Ladies and gentlemen, have y'all ever disagreed as a husband and wife with each other? Probably. I hear people say, we've never had an argument. I'm thinking, you're lying right now. Don't believe that. When parents disagree, is it a wise thing to take that disagreement to the children? No. Settle it. Get it settled. And then go out there and present, work together on that. Now, parents, when we disagree with the preacher or his preaching, the pastor, is it wise for us to take it to our kids and talk about it? If you do, you're going to undermine his authority. And how do you think they'll respond to him the next time he preaches? Well, it's okay to disagree with the preacher. I don't like what he said. Okay. Whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. You can take that one to the bank. Now, when there's a supposed conflict with your children's teacher, public or Christian school, or your youth pastor, or your coach, or your boss, or anyone that your children happen to be under and are in authority over your child, is it wise for you to take your child's side over that authority? Oh, but they did them wrong. So what? You'd ever been done wrong? I personally believe, and I think the Bible, in the passages we've read, and they're all throughout Scripture, that the Bible indicates that you should not take that to your children, and you should not take your children's side over the authority. A wise parent is going to find a way to back authority. And he's going to resolve any true issues without weakening the standing of the authority. It can be done. One of the major changes in our society is that children go to their parents when they get in trouble, and the parents take their kids' word over the authority. And when they do that, the whole thing breaks down. Well, what you're doing is you're breaking down your children. This is the reason children end up the way they are, is because of that thing going on there. You know what Brother Angel said? He said, you better, if you're a school teacher or a principal, and a child gets in trouble, you better contact that parent real fast, because they're going to go home and tell them a lie. You say, my kids wouldn't lie. Oh, yes, they would. Mom and Dad lie, and they will always cover their hide, and very few of them will not lie. They come forth from the womb speaking lies. So, listen, they may not lie. They'll spin it. And before long, if you're listening to them, they're going to touch a nerve. They're going to touch your heart, and you're going to take their side, and then you're going to have big problems. Now, if a conflict arises, teachers and parents, they have to get there fast to keep that from happening. And the kids know if they can get to their parents first, the parents are going to listen to them. God cannot be more clear that the powers that be, he ordained. And many, if not most parents, have allowed this God-ordained structure of authority to be destroyed. You have to learn something. It's a commonly phrase today called conflict resolution. When should we decide to make an issue over a conflict with authority? It will be extremely rare. And when it does come up, there should be a clear command in the Word of God to tell you to do that. For example, this will never happen. But if Brother Laster got up, came home from the meeting, he had a great meeting, comes in and says, you know what? I think that we're not going to meet on Sunday anymore. We're going to meet on Saturday. Now, he wouldn't do that, would he? But there is clear teaching in the Word of God that it's the first day of the week. Therefore, you have a biblical. Now, you still have to do it in the right way. Even the pastor's doing something like that. You still entreat him as a father. You go hit quietly to him the right way. But, you know, if something like that happened, and I'm just giving a crazy example, then that would be something you would have to deal with. But I remember how my parents handled stuff like this. Now, there was one time in my whole life that I remember my parents took my side against, it wasn't my side, they stood against authority. For the first time, our team, I played baseball, and I was like 13 or 14, and our team was in the playoffs. And the big playoff game that we were going to play was on a Tuesday night. And so, you know, we were all excited, and the coach was excited, and everybody's excited we're going to be in the playoffs. Well, camp started on Monday. My dad says, he loves sports, but he said, I said, Dad, we need to work out something where I can play this game and then somebody can bring me down to Pot of Gold after the game. He said, no, you're going to camp. I thought, our team. He said, no, that's God's business. That's God's work. You're going to camp. That baseball, no. Now, he loved baseball. He loved football more than that, but he loved sports. But there was not a question about it was the right thing for me to be camp. You know what? I was a little upset for a while. I can remember I didn't let him know that because that wouldn't be wise. I was a little upset. But, you know, I went to camp after about the first 30 minutes. I just started loving camp and having a good time like you always do. And I forgot about the game. Got home, found out. I don't know if they won or lost. Didn't make any difference. But my dad did the right thing. He put me where I was supposed to be. But he didn't make a big deal. Didn't undercut the authority. Just said, this is what we're going to do. It's biblical. We one time had this is the only time I can remember not going against authority in my kid's life. And my sons played baseball, back to baseball. I guess it's a bad sport. But my sons played baseball, and my son Clay is not the most athletic young man. Christy, our daughter, was very athletic. If y'all been around her, she was. But my sons didn't get that. Clay was the worst. I hope he didn't get this tape. But he was on this ball team. I would take them to practice and watch them, and I loved to coach, but I just let them coach out there. And I would say, Coach, can I play third base? And the coach said, no, you get out there in the outfield. You know where they usually put you in Little League? If you can't play, they put you in right field or catcher. nowadays, I mean, if you get in the big leagues, right field is a very good player, and catcher is a tremendous, very important. It's different in little leagues. So he put him out there in the outfield. One, he had asked him, and I'd been a lot of practice, he'd ask, I want to take some grounders. I want to play infield. Coach, let me play. And he had asked the coach. The coach never would let him. One night, their third baseman got hurt. And when the third baseman got hurt, the coach said, Clay, you've been wanting to play third base. Get over there. Now, he had never practiced it, not one time. They hit a ball. You know where the ball's going to find you. And it found him. They hit it right to him. He made an error. What do you expect? Never even practiced it. They lost the game. After the game, all the boys are gathered around. The coach is talking. He said, Clay, you lost the game. But I never said a word to him. I picked up the phone about an hour later, called the coach. His wife answered. He wouldn't even take the call. That's not surprising. But I just said, I need to talk to your husband. Well, he's not available right now. Now, that was one time when, you know, it gets up. But, you know, I can't let my kids know that. I can't let them know that. You know, you can stand up for truth and right. Now, here's some rules to apply. I'm going to go through these quickly. Some good rules to apply when authorities disagree. Occasionally they do. Brother Smith taught me this, and it's so true. Brother McGahee, I worked with him for 22 years. Go with the safe position. Go with the stronger position. Sometimes I might not be as strong in an area as the church is, and sometimes the church may not be as strong in an area as I am. The wise thing to do as parents is go with the stronger position. It's always safe. Always safe. Romans 14 is a great passage on talking about the stronger Christians and the weaker Christians, and the stronger Christian is not to cause the weaker Christian to stumble, and the weaker Christian is not to judge the stronger Christian. It lays these things out, it helps settle conflicts in your church. Number two, our first obedience is always to God. Acts 5:29 says we ought to obey God rather than men. This means that the only time I believe you have a right to go against authority is if the Word of God tells you you can and you should. Peter and those men were told not to preach. God had called them to preach. Peter says, we're going to preach. We ought to obey God rather than men. Just laid it out there. It's very clear. So that is a time. Now, you need to know how to do that. What does that mean, men and ladies? You got to know your book. You need to study your book. David knew his book so well that when he was faced down by Nathan, he went over there and found that little passage over there in Exodus that said, four sheep for a sheep. He knew the details of the law. Jephthah makes a rash vow and says, I don't know what to do. My daughter came across the threshold first. I got to kill her. Well, God says, thou shalt not kill. So what are you going to do? He said, well, I made this vow if I don't keep this vow. He didn't know his Bible well enough. There was two places in there that showed him what he could have done to settle that in a biblical way and not take his daughter's life. He did. He took his daughter's life. You got to know what the Bible has to say. Understand there are occasionally exceptions to rules. Doesn't the Bible say thou shalt not kill? Does that mean you don't get to kill in wartime? Does that mean you don't get to kill in self-defense? Defense of your family? No, absolutely not. The Word of God tells you times that you're supposed to take care of things. Does that mean that a man that's avenging a criminal that needs to has given the death penalty, that man is a murderer that takes his life? Absolutely not. The Bible gives the exceptions. They are there. Then you need to be wise and discreet in handling disagreements with other authorities. Keep your children out of the loop. You'll see. The Lord will show you something if it's not right. Keep your children out of the loop. Always back authority. Authority is right even when it's wrong. Remember that rule? Have you seen that rule? The boss, rule number one, the boss is always right. Rule number two, if the boss is wrong, see rule one. I've seen that in a lot of places, and that's Brother Gomez told me a story a while back. He had been having some issues with staff kids. And some of the kids didn't want to come in the authority of the other staff members. Christian Scott, I don't know what it was. I didn't know the details. Just said he was having it. This was many years ago. And he said, I told him, Brother Sam, that's the way he talked to me. I told him, Brother Sam, that if you don't support authority, it's my staff, If you don't support authority, you might as well put a loaded gun to the head of your kid and pull the trigger. That's just the way he would say it. I believe that. I believe that. Some of you don't. But the Word of God backs up what I'm saying and backs up what he said. You have to back authority. When you study in Numbers chapter 14, God drew the line on Israel and because of what they did at Kadesh Barnea and would not let anyone over 20 years old go into the land. He said, you're not going in. Why? He said, because of what you've done these 10 times. I've got a list of them here. Nearly every one of those involved the rules that they broke, and God finally said, I've had enough of you folks, and you're going to die in the wilderness, and your children that you said God couldn't take care of, they're going to go in, but you're not going to go in. You know why? It nearly always involved authority in some way, or griping, grouchy, whining, that type of stuff. Those issues of discontentment. Here's a couple ways that authority is undermined in many Christian homes. Hopefully you'll think about these. Maybe in a home of someone here. On the way home from an event, from a message, you'll have roast preacher before you get your roast beef. Or roast teacher. Or roast youth director. It would never be roast music director. Or roast principal. Or coach. Even if you have a strong position, parents, don't let your children know that you disagree with that authority. You can't do that. Here's another one that goes on all the time in homes. We won't tell Dad. Absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Well, Dad is he's bad. He'll hurt them. So what? Dr. Hiles used to say when he and his wife determined how they were going to punish their kids, whatever the other one was doing, they would keep their mouth shut. He said, when I punish the kids, there would be blood all over the place. I've told you this. Well, I think he was exaggerating a little bit. But he said, my wife zipped it. And when she would say, don't do that again, and they did it, well, I told you, if you do that again, I'm going to make you put your nose in the corner, over and over again. He kept his mouth shut. Listen. This home has to be working together. You can't hide moms or dads. It works on both sides. Things like that. You teaching your kids that we're going to hide something from mom. One thing we did, there was some things our kids knew. As the boys got older, they had better not. If they raised their hand against their mama, they were dead, and they believed it. They get 12, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there, my mommy, I had to be about 16. She was very strong. But they'll get in there somewhere, and they'll think, I don't have to listen to her. I can, you better. And I just told the boys, I said, if she tells me, and she better tell me, that you raise your hand against your mama, you are dead meat, son. You say, well, is that in the Bible? Well, it's somewhere in Proverbs, stuck in there somewhere. It's in there. I backed the authority of my wife to the hilt, and she backed my authority. And we had to do that. We would never let them work one parent against the other. Kids will do it if they'll find a weakness. They will do it. And some. My prayer is that over these past 5 messages, through the preaching of Dr. Laster, through the lesson that you were given last Wednesday night by Ray Young, that God has used these thoughts to help you and convict you as parents where you may have failed. Have you been hypocritical? Have you been inconsistent? Have you not stood for authority? Wouldn't it be a shame to train your children, work so hard to do it, in the admonition of the Lord, and let this one key area undo all the work that you've done? To you young people that are here, and you children, you're under the parental authority. You do reap what you sow. Some of you are sowing right now dissension among your parents. You're using one against the other. Or in your church or in your school. And God's going to hold you accountable for that attitude. You will have children one of these days. And your treatment, God's going to hold you responsible for how you've treated authorities. If we're going to have strong homes that honor God and would undergird our church, our churches, and our country, then we must get right in this key area of authority. I think it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, breakdown in our country. You might not even thought about it, but it is laid out there for you. God puts it there, and we have to follow through. We must have God's order, or we will have lives that do not please Him. You'll have heartbreak. You'll have sorrow for those, for yourself, for those you love, turmoil, tension, instead of peace, and a little haven in our homes. I hope this has been a help to you. I want you to think about these things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We think you have a perfect book. Lord, these thoughts, I don't believe, are my thoughts. They're not the way I would even think of doing things. But you give us commands and direction and order, and you want there to be order in your homes. You want there to be order in your church. You want there to be order in this country. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would convict our parents, our grandparents, our newlyweds, Lord, those that are going to be getting married soon, to order their family and have it right in this area of authority. I pray for our young people, our singles, our children, that they would come up underneath the authority where you've placed them and learn this. Some of them don't have a mom and dad to teach them these things. They're going to have to get it from the man of God. They're going to have to get it from the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'd have mercy on our homes. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would do a work in the hearts of these dear people. Now, tonight, there may be someone